Great to have you along here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here, and we're beginning the show today by talking with you about a couple of events coming up this weekend, actually starting on Friday. One of them, the Vision Midwest Conference. So we'll be talking about that conference and about vision and sight. We'll also be talking about assistive technology. Some of them relate to vision, but to they also that Expo, AT Expo 2010, relates to many other kinds of technologies as well relating to assistive rehabilitation. Two guests, Beth Finke is one of our guests, award-winning author, teacher, journalist, NPR commentator. She was once sighted. Today she cannot see, but that does not stop her from blogging. Beth Finke at bethfinke.wordpress.com. And Finke is spelled F-I-N-K-E. So bethfinke.wordpress.com. And she's going to be the keynote speaker this Friday at the Vision Midwest Conference at the Alliant Energy Center in Madison. She's also going to be holding a workshop about blogging at 4 p.m. that afternoon. And that conference runs Friday through Sunday at the Alliant Center. Beth, great to have you with us. Thanks for taking time to be here.
Great to be here. Thanks.
Jay Martin, our other guest today. Jay is a professor of mechanical engineering at the UW-Madison. He directs the Assistive Rehabilitation and Technology Design Sequence for the UW College of Engineering. And he is involved with AT Expo 2010, which takes place tomorrow, October 21st. It's from 10 to 3. It's on the UW Engineering campus, and that's the 1500 block of University Avenue. And that's that expo is free and open to the public. And Jay Martin, great to have you with us. Thanks for being here.
It's great to be here.
I want to start out with Beth for a minute. Beth, you were sighted until you were 26, correct?
That's right. Yep.
And you had to make that transition at that time. Did this happen gradually or suddenly occur?
It took about a year. I started seeing spots in October of 84, and by July of 1985, I was blind. I had a lot of surgeries and laser treatments and everything they could do to try to save the sight, but they didn't work.
No. So, and you were married at the time.
And still then, am.
Yeah, and still
same
are.
Guy.
Same guy.
Yeah. It's actually quite unusual. There's a high rate of divorce among adults if one partner gets disabled.
One way or another. And
yes.
You had children too as well when that happened.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, it must have been, I wonder if it's harder, do you think it's harder to be in a position where you have your sight and lose it or never to have had your sight?
I think, I'm asked that sometimes and I can only speak for myself. And
sure.
since I'm doing okay, like I think it's easier to have had sight, I believe, because I can still understand when someone tells me about something, the color blue or mm-hmm. what a tree is, or I can still envision things. I'm a pretty social person. There's nothing I like better than sitting across from somebody and having a cup of coffee or drinking a beer and just talking. And people have an easier time doing that with me because I know the social cues. I know to look at people when they're talking, and people who are born blind have to learn to do that, and it's just more difficult.
Yeah, but you've become very resourceful. You have a lot of ingenuity, and part of that I think will probably be on display at the Vision Midwest conference.
Yeah, it will.
What's the conference all about? I'm sure mm-hmm. You're a part of it. You may not know everything that's going on, but there's quite a bit there.
Yeah. It's the first conference that's based in the Midwest for Midwestern people. So there are people from all over the Midwestern states are joining in Madison. What really turned me on to, and what really had me come, is that it's pushing the idea of what blind people are doing rather than what they can do. So mm-hmm. often, well, it's kind of a joke, but when I first lost my sight, people wanted to be helpful and would tell me, they'd read about some blind guy that bungee jumped. So they said, Beth, there's something you could do. You could bungee jump. And I'm thinking, I'm trying to figure out how to pour coffee into a cup without spilling it. I don't think I'm looking for something to do. But this one is more, it's a lot of people. Well, another thing that turned me on, there's a Blind Man Who Brews Beer as a business. And when I found out he was coming, I said, okay, I'm coming. As long as you don't put me at the same time as him. But there's also Apple is going to be there and going to show enough how iPads can work. There's a lot of talks about stem cell research. There is a tactile tour of art museums here. There's a lot going on, and I'm looking forward to it.
I bet you are. And Jay Martin, I'm sure that there's with the AT Expo, Assistive Technologies Expo, probably going to be some things there that relate to people with vision issues.
Oh, absolutely. Because of Vision Midwest, we have a couple of quite interesting presentations that'll take place. One on the BrainPort vision device, which is actually a device that has been produced by a local company, WeCab.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the basic idea is that a display system, they call it the tongue display system, goes on a person's tongue, mm-hmm. has an array of electrodes, and then that's fed by a video camera. And so someone with a visual impairment wears this, and as they move their head around, the camera provides a signal to this tongue display device, and they learn to interpret that as if it's a visual signal.
Wow.
And some of the results are quite remarkable. The guy who, I've forgotten his name, who recently climbed Mount Everest, who is blind.
Eric. Something like that. It's like Weimer-Reimer. But it's not Weimer-Reimer, but it's like that.
Apparently, though, that and they will they'll be demonstrating some of his experience with this device. But he put this on and apparently was walking around with able to navigate virtually any obstacle and so forth. So it's quite exciting.
So that's one of the – and that's – you are director of the Assistive Rehabilitation and Technology Design Sequence with Engineering, and so that's. Were you part of the camera work or
no? I am,
but you do some other. Your whole center does other things.
Yeah, that's right. We do work that goes all the way from orthopedic implant systems, you know, hip replacements, mm-hmm. knee replacements, and so forth, but. And we have big efforts in biomechanical systems, so those are specifically involved with human locomotion. And that involves things like trying to do preoperative prediction of something that would be done to improve gait, for example. But we also have a big effort that's involved in assistive technology design. What that means is we do things like we have a big project working on advanced powered wheelchairs.
Mm-hmm.
And we're looking at every part of advanced powered wheelchairs from the power system. So we've got a hybrid power mm-hmm. system in our new powered wheelchair and advanced seating systems where there's incorporation of airbags and the ability to heat and cool the user and so forth.
And some of this is going to be on display,
I assume,
at the AT Expo. And maybe tell us just a bit more about that.
Well, the AT Expo is it's a yearly activity. And in the last several years, it's been held on the engineering campus. And the idea is that we gather together as many vendors and people engaged in development of AT technology as we can. And we have a day at the campus. And we have lots of visitors. Last year, I think we had about 600 people mm-hmm. Come and visit. And so,
and that's free and open to
yes,
the public.
Yep.
So anybody can attend. I want to give our listeners a chance to join in. I haven't given the number. Let me do that. You may have questions for Beth Finke or for Jay Martin here as we talk vision and we talk assistive technologies with them. I hope you'll join us. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us. The email address is talk@wpr.org. We'd love to hear from you, so give us a call or shoot us an email. Beth, you have a seeing eye dog.
Yes.
What was it like? It looks like a wonderful dog.
She's great.
She's great?
Yeah.
What was? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, what was it like learning with one?
Yeah.
She's my second dog. So my first dog, it was a little tricky because I grew up in a family. We did not have dogs. I have six older brothers and sisters. So
oh boy.
My mom was not too keen on us having. I had a turtle And that was the extent. So I was a little bit afraid of dogs for no good reason. I just didn't know a lot about them. But I was blind for about 6 years before I finally decided to turn in my white cane for a dog. I had a couple mishaps, nothing serious, but I was in the street when I thought I was on the sidewalk with my white cane. Mm. The first time I thought, mistake. Second time I thought, maybe I should try this dog thing. So the first time was quite an adjustment, but I turned out to be a very good student because I had no knowledge of dogs, so they could brainwash me. Everything they told me to do, I would do. So I used my first dog, Dora, until she was 12, and then went back and I trained with my current dog, Hani. I went back November of 2001, which was an unusual. We were the first class. It's in New Jersey. We fly into Newark. We were the first class after 9/11. And it was quite interesting for that because a lot of the people there were much more affected personally than we were in the Midwest. And also, just one quick story. There's one thing that seeing eye dogs have to do. They have to stop. If you're about to hit your head on a branch or something hanging,
right,
they have to stop for that too. And it's very difficult because it's up high. They're not really, they're mostly watching in front of them. But at the time in Morristown, New Jersey, where every single store had an American flag hanging out because it was right after 9/11. And it was, and so I'd keep running into these flags. So it was the perfect way to learn overhang. Every time I ran into a flag, we'd have to stop. We'd have to go back again. I'd touch the flag and say, okay, let's do it again. It was a lot less pain than running into a branch or something like that. So, but the second time around, I think people who have more than one child know what that's like. It's a little bit easier. You learn on the first one, unfortunately.
Yeah. Well, let's take some calls. Again, you can join us at 1-800-642-1234. Let's turn to Tad in Ontario. Thank you.
Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
Good morning.
I am currently working for a hospital in La Crosse where I am starting a program from East Carolina University for assistive technology, but my coursework won't start until spring. I was just wondering if you knew of any place closer. This will be online courses, and it's graduate credits, and it's out-of-state tuition, so you can imagine it's very expensive. And I work with wheelchairs and adapting wheelchairs for people. And that's where I want to continue. I eventually want to get my assistive technology certification. So if you can give me any hints, I would really appreciate it.
Okay, that sounds like a question for Jay. Jay Martin?
Yeah, I think there are probably some very good options for you. So I guess I'm going to recommend, I don't know if this is reasonable, but that you contact me directly. I think my contact information is available through the university website. And I will provide you some leads to that. But this is something that obviously the state of Wisconsin cares a lot about, is training people to be assistive technology experts. And so there are some programs in the state that you could look at. So I don't think you have to go to East Carolina.
Okay. I will find your email address, and I will be contacting you.
So, the mechanical engineer, go to the UW...
Mechanical engineering, yeah.
Mechanical engineering, and Jay Martin's name will be there. And you can ask your... talk back and forth with him via email. Sounds good. I want to go... talking about email and talking about online, what about... WordPress, Beth Finke at WordPress, or BethFinke.wordpress.com.
Yes.
I always wanted to put at in there. So what possessed you to get going on a blog?
Oh, boy, I went kicking and screaming. I have a part-time job at Easter Seals. It's an organization that helps people with disabilities. It's headquartered in Chicago, and they hired me to moderate a blog about autism there. So I learned how to do it with the help of some people on staff there. And I eventually, for those of you who are savvy, but I eventually learned HTML code because if those of you who use this know that HTML code, you see every single letter that you have to write it all out. And so I can hear HTML, I can hear the italics, whatever. Mm-hmm. So I learned that at work. And when I'd come to work, I would tell stories about what happened to me on my walk to work or whatever, and they'd say that I should have a blog of my own. But already I was writing for Chicago Public Radio. I was doing essays for them. I was freelancing, getting a lot of work published. And so, hey, I get paid to write. Yeah. Why on earth would I put stuff up there for free for the people who read? But they nagged me enough and I started, and I'm really glad I did. It keeps me writing. I give myself a deadline. I do at least 2 posts a week. Oftentimes I'll write about something that I think is just mildly interesting, but I get enough comments on it that I realize, hey, this is interesting, and then that motivates me to submit it as an essay for public radio or to send it to newspapers. And so I'd say at least a dozen of my blog posts have become bigger pieces. So
it's been helpful in that regard.
Way, very helpful. It's also helpful. People find me. I've written so many words that if you Google blind journalist Chicago, you know, I might be number 9. And so it honestly does help for that. A quick well, it's a long story, so I don't want to. But some Ford Motor Company found me because they were looking for a blind journalist to cover a story where a blind man was driving the new Ford Mustang as an experiment. And they had a bunch of journalists, but they wanted one who was blind. And they found me through my blog. So,
all right.
Yeah.
All right. So it's helpful in that regard, helpful in a lot of ways. Well, Beth Finke and Jay Martin, our guests here, as we talk about vision and assistive technologies. Again, you can join us at 1-800-642-1234 or email us at talk@wpr.org. I'm Larry Mueller. Jim Packard, our producer here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Beth Finke, award-winning author, teacher, journalist, NPR commentator, and she will be the keynote speaker this Friday at 1 p.m. at the Vision Midwest Conference held at the Alliant Center in Madison, Alliant Energy Center in Madison. She'll also be holding a workshop. We've been talking with her about blogging, and she's going to hold a workshop about blogging at 4 o'clock Friday afternoon. And that conference runs through Sunday, October 24th. At the Alliant Center. I want to let you know, if you want to register for and learn more about it, you can go to www.12state, so it's 12 state, kind of one word, .org, and you can find out how to register there, and you're also going to find out a lot more about the conference itself. Jay Martin, professor of mechanical engineering at UW-Madison, directs the Assistive Rehabilitation and Technology Design Sequence for the UW School of Engineering, very involved with AT Expo 2010, which takes place tomorrow. That's Thursday from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. on the UW Engineering Campus in Madison, the 1500 block of University Avenue. That expo is free and open to the public, and certainly you're most welcome to attend that. Usually there's a really good attendance for it, and I hope you'll join in. If you have a question for either of our guests today, I hope you'll join as well. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us, and the email address is talk@wpr.org, talk@wpr.org. Jay, back to you for a minute. At the expo itself, give us a few more of the specifics about what people are going to find at the expo.
So there are two things that go on simultaneously at the expo. We have a number of vendors of assistive technology and people that are displaying, that are working on assistive technology. So to give you an example, we have a number of people who do conversion vans.
Okay.
For individuals that use wheelchairs. And one of the things that's unique this year is that Toyota Motor Company is actually doing a factory installation of a, maybe you've all seen this, the seat that extends out of the car.
Yeah.
And so they will be there showing this this special van that they're now selling. And it goes all the way to, displays. Many of my students, for example, will be displaying on the design and research that they're working on. For example, the advanced powered wheelchair systems will be on display. There also is a concurrent technical program.
Mm-hmm.
And in that case, we've asked people from around the Midwest who are, well, actually extends beyond the Midwest, who are on the forefront of research in assistive technology to tell us what the latest is. And so in addition to the work on the BrainPort device, we've got people talking about a device called the Locomat, which is a a robotic system that is used for people that have mobility impairments, very commonly new spinal cord injuries. Hmm. And they put them in this device, and it looks kind of like an exoskeleton-type device. Mm-hmm. And they're put on in this device on a treadmill, and they actually start to walk.
Oh, boy.
And developed in Europe, and so this is quite unusual to have this here. Mm-hmm. The other thing that is that will be talked about tomorrow are some of the advanced prosthetic legs that are technology has really advanced since the Iraq War.
Yeah.
And so there's a company called Ottobock that produces some of these devices, and these are they're microprocessor controlled prosthetic legs. And when you see how well people walk, even double amputees using these devices, it's just remarkable. So there'll be a discussion on the latest research on that also.
Wow, that sounds like... Beth, are you going to join in on that?
I am.
I hope so.
Well, Jay and I were sitting before the interview, and he was telling me about this. Well, I'm coming. Yeah, it's fascinating. I'm interested, like anybody, with the prosthetic, the legs. We were at the Chicago Marathon a week ago, I guess.
Yeah.
It was 10-10-10. And my husband, Mike Kinseyan, was describing these runners going by with the, it's so cool. I mean, it's very, I'd love to, yeah, I'm going. See you there.
And it doesn't conflict with the...
No, perfect.
It's lucky, yeah.
So it doesn't conflict at all with the Vision Midwest Conference. And I want to go back to that a little bit, too, because I was looking at the number of presentations.
It's pretty unbelievable, isn't it? It's really fantastic. Me too. You gave me the perfect excuse to really look at that schedule because there's so many presentations. It's hard to figure out which ones I'm going to go to. So I worked on that this morning, but there are so many good ones. I mean, there's everything from a yoga mat for a person who's visually impaired. And I'm going, why would a visually impaired person need a special yoga mat? But I'm going to go find out. And then the Apple Lab, I am going to go to, I'm very interested in stem cell research. So I'm going to go to a couple of those. I don't know. I thought it was really kind of a fun schedule to look over. It's really interesting. Things you might not think about.
Screen reading with window eyes. We're going to talk about VIP accessible diabetes and medical equipment, assistive technology, and self-advocacy. Another topic.
I think there's GPS. There's a whole bunch of GPS. I think they're scavenger hunts. And I'm eager. I've not used the GPS that's made for a person who's walking. You know, they do have them for people who are blind, and I've not used them yet, so I'm going to try. There'd be a lot of fun things to try out.
We had an email question came in for you, Beth, and Nancy wonders what were your symptoms? What happened when you were going blind?
The first symptom, I saw spots in front of my eyes, and I do a lot of. I have a children's book out now about my seeing eye dog, and so I go to a lot of schools to talk about. Then what I tell them, it was almost like a snow globe, you know, the snow globes that you turn upside down and you turn them up in the snow. There were spots that were floating around in my eyes, and it wasn't until if I held my head still, they would all float to the bottom, but every time I moved, they'd move around. So of course I realized there was something wrong, so I went to an ophthalmologist, and they started using laser treatments to try to zap. What was happening was the small blood vessels in my eyes were bursting and creating new blood vessels, but those were so small that they would break and they would bleed. So it was that, but eventually there were so many spots. It was described to me as the boy trying to put the finger in the dike, spots and bleeding. So I had three major surgeries, and like I said, it took about a year. To be honest, things have improved in retinopathy. At the time I had, 80% of the time the surgeries would work. And so what I learned from that is somebody's got to be the 20%. I mean, those seem like good odds, but you forget that somebody, it doesn't work for somebody, but the research is all doing better. And there's going to be a lot at the Vision Midwest about retinopathy too. So,
well, Alan, let's see, where is he from? I'm not quite sure, but he has a question here. He says, I'm legally blind in one eye and my right, and I have bad vision in my good eye. Nobody will attempt any kind of surgery on my good eye for fear that if they screw it up, I will be completely blind. wondering about advances that either of you may know about in the past few years that may allow him to one day get some kind of vision correction surgery on the good eye.
I'm not an expert in that kind of reason, and it would depend what your eye condition was. But I can. It's interesting to me to hear that you don't have the choice to say go ahead. It's my choice, and go ahead and have the surgery. I don't know.
Yeah, and that's not something that you folks have.
No, I can't anything that it does sound like the Vision Midwest Conference would be a great place to come and get some info.
It would be, because there's a lot of those sorts of experts from the University of Wisconsin. There are a lot of experts going to be there in that sort of field.
This optical, somebody else wondered about optical character recognition.
Yeah.
How does that work?
Jay?
Jay's looking at me like...
I sort of know. You want me to take
it? Yeah, you take it.
I don't use it because I'm totally blind, but what I understand, it's a lot like scanners, from if I'm understanding correctly. The way a scanner will, you can take a printed page, put it on a scanner, and it'll put it onto your computer for you. And then when I do that sort of thing, then I use my computer talks. So I press a button and it says, isn't this great? We are at Wisconsin Public Radio. I am so happy to be here. It is great. So it's like that. I believe that's what OCR is.
So that's what it is. Okay. Mm-hmm. And now is that...
And actually, there's a session on it at Vision Midwest. There is. Obviously, it was one of the ones that I'm not going to because I don't...
This is not something that you can
that
use.
I can use.
So, but when you blog, what's...
I use my talking computer, and so it'll say title, colon, and then I have my fingers... My keyboard does not have Braille on it because I learned to type when I could see, so I know how to type. But every keyboard has a dot on the F and J,
yeah.
So that helps you know where to put your pointer because none of you are supposed to be looking at your keyboard. Anyway, I am wagging my finger when I say that. That's why that's there. So if I were blogging, like... my blog about this has a very funny name. It's called, Schwegler's. Here I come. What's the bowling alley in Madison?
Schwegler's bowling alley.
Schwegler's. Okay. So the title was Schwegler's. So I hope I'm going to spell it right. It says the capital letters louder. So I hear the words title, colon, edit. Edit tells me that's somewhere I can start writing. I hit enter and it says forms mode on. So that means I can write something. So I would say S-C-H-W-O-E-G-L-E-R-S, H-E-R-E. So anyway, I actually type like this. I type really fast, but then I can do something, make it listen. It says, Schweglers, here I come. Because, of course, what would a conference in Wisconsin be without a bowling tournament? So there is a blind bowling tournament at Schweglers on Saturday at 1 o'clock. So that's, my talking computer parrots what I type, and I hear it as I'm typing, and then I can press a button and have it read through. And I've gotten to the point where I can hear differences. Like, I can almost even hear the difference between two and two. If it's T-O-O, if mm-hmm. I've spelled it, yeah. So you just get good after years and years.
Wow. Well, this conference, I want to go back to the conference. There, it's for consumers, and it's for professionals as well, if I'm not mistaken. The Wisconsin Association for Education and the, Rehabilitation of the Blind and Visually Impaired, is they have an annual conference, and that's now part of this Vision Midwest conference. So that's kind of good too, because it gives another excuse for coming for people coming together to do this. There is a conference fee, and I did want to bring that up for the conference, which is Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So it's 3 days, and the conference fee is only $35. So there is when you think about the number of topics that are covered in that conference for $35, I think that's a pretty good bargain.
And may I say, Jay's is free. Remember that. Jay's tomorrow is free. And one, my husband is coming, and he's going to sit on a panel about what it's like to be married, to be able to see and be married to a blind person. And that's I've never heard of all the conferences I've been to. No one's ever done that conference. So it's also for people who are friends and family of people who are blind, too.
Oh,
I think
great.
That would be very interesting.
Fantastic.
Yeah, so he's coming in tomorrow.
He's coming in Friday, and then he's on at 8:30 in the morning Saturday.
Oh.
I haven't decided yet if I'm going to go. I mean, it might be better. He might say more things if I'm not in the audience, but I might also choose to sleep in.
Yeah.
Depending, yeah.
Well, we're having some difficulties with our phones today, so we've been losing calls. Unfortunately, I'm sorry for that, but keep trying. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or the email's been working as well, the email address. That has worked. talk@wpr.org. That's talk@wpr.org, and we'd still love to hear from you. A few more minutes yet before we move on to other topics. And Jay, let's go back to you for a minute or two as well to talk some more about the kind of research that you do. You've talked about wheelchair. You guys have really focused on that a lot. Are there some other areas within your institute that you try to emphasize or work with?
Yeah. Our focus has been primarily on, let's say, locomotion or mobility. I've been working now in assistive technology and disability for 11 years. What's so amazing is the need.
Yeah.
And when I say need, maybe that's the wrong word, but let me put it another way. There is so much opportunity for people like me to do work that brings a lot of meaning to what we do. Yeah. It's just amazing. And so we are working on things like we've been working real hard on work surfaces for people that use wheelchairs, because it turns out that you've all seen those desks that go on the front of wheelchairs, or those turn out to be a big problem. Like, if you're not going to use it, where do you put it?
Yeah.
How do you carry it with you, and so forth? And so we've had a big effort on trying to develop some alternative ideas for work surfaces for individuals that use wheelchairs. Another device that we've been working on recently is, and we call the button switch activator, and this might surprise you, but if the door openers, for example, are very often really inconveniently
placed.
And, very often somebody in a chair can't actually push the button and get through the door.
That's right.
And so this is a pneumatic device. It's a little... it looks like a telescoping cylinder that fits under the arm of a wheelchair. And on the command of the user, it comes out, and they can point it at the switch, and they can activate the switch. So we all think that's great fun, but there was a guy at the University of Illinois, a young man, quite a remarkable young man, who needed one of these. And so his brother put on one of those extendable antennas that we used to have in our cars. Remember those?
Mm-hmm.
And so he was telling me about it, and he said, but the good thing is when I need to get through a crowd of students. I said, really? What do you do? And he said, I go up and poke them.
Yes.
Gets them out of the way.
Universal design.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. we've finally got phones working here again, I think. So let's go to Melissa in Libertyville, Illinois. Hi, Melissa. Thanks for calling.
Hello, this is Melissa. I'm a big fan of Beth Finke, and in fact, I just had her in my library as a presenter recently.
Hi, Melissa.
Hi. And I'm listening to an NPR, and I thought that the audience might appreciate hearing a little bit about your career as a journalist in general, and I thought especially that story about the woman who was the high-level military person you interviewed and how that experience went for you and what you got out of that.
Sure. Thanks for the question. I do a lot of freelance writing, and I'm proud of, I guess it's a little bit odd, but I'm kind of proud of the way my writing does not have any visuals in it. I don't describe how things look. I do a lot of profiles of people, and usually the profile will have a photograph of the person right next to it, so I find there's no reason for me to describe them. But some of my editors think differently. So for a magazine, I did an article on the highest ranking female general in the Army. And I met with her and talked to her and sent the article in, and the editor insisted I describe the way she looks. And so I fought with her for a little bit, but the editor, I wanted the article to be published.
Sure.
So I called the general's secretary And he'd been working with her the whole story, but I never told her I was blind. I'd been on the phone or over email. And so I fessed up and said, I'm blind and I don't know what I said. So could you describe her to me? And she said, let me get this right. She said, well, she's 5'2", but she thinks she's 6'4". And I said, can I use that? And she said, yeah. And so I used it. And from now, after that, it really was a great quote. And so it's even another advantage. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of, it's not kind of lemons out of lemon. It's just an interesting, this is real. I can't see. So I don't know what people look like. But I can ask people. I interviewed Miss America once for a story, and she was biracial. And so I asked her, I said, what do you look like? And she said, well, I have brown hair, I have brown eyes, so, my skin's kind of tan. A lot of people don't know what I am. And I thought, what a great, and I quoted her describing herself. So I kind of use it that way.
That is very cool. Mm. Thank you very much for calling. And I also wanted to mention that you won an award for your reporting on the world champion White Sox on Chicago Public Radio.
I did. I am the only woman in America to have won an award for sports broadcasting. I don't know if that's true. I just say it. And I'll call in if you know some other blind woman in America. But so far, no one has. Yeah.
has come forward. Mm-hmm. Well, I tell you what, this has been a real joy to be able to talk with both of you. I want to thank you so much for being with us today. And I want to remind everybody, the Vision Midwest Conference, Beth Finke will be speaking. She's the keynote speaker at 1 p.m. Friday at the Alliant Center. And then she will also be holding a workshop about blogging at 4 that afternoon. But that conference, as we've been talking, is a whole host of great talks and great things to experience at this event. And again, it's Friday through Sunday. You can register by going to www.12, and that's the number 12, don't write 12, the number 12 state. .org, www.12state.org, and you can register and you can find out a lot more about what's going on at that conference. Also, Jay Martin, professor of mechanical engineering at UW, very involved with assistive technologies, and there's an AT Expo 2010, which takes place tomorrow. So just before the Vision Conference, you can attend AT Expo 2010 from 10 in the morning till 3 in the afternoon. It's on the UW Engineering Campus. That's the 1500 block of University Avenue. The expo is free and open to the public, so you can just come in and see. You're going to see a lot of amazing things, as Jay was, and experience a lot of amazing things, as Jay Martin has been telling us about. And I hope you can attend both. I hope you can come Thursday and then just head on over to the Vision Midwest Conference on Friday. Thank you both again very much.
Thanks
for having us.
Appreciate it very much. Well, we're going to switch gears a bit here and turn our attention to youth development and also to 4-H. And we have three guests who are going to be joining me in a couple of seconds: Jessica Jens, Katrina Putman, and Sally Turpin. Our guests coming up next on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.